GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss fired former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman last Friday, removing Gableman from his role as lead investigator on an election probe, searching for evidence of suspected election fraud back in 2020. Voss sent a letter to Gableman ending that probe just 1 week after Gableman and former President Trump publicly supported Voss's primary challenger. You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think Voss is right to fire Gableman and put an end to the probe? Do you think that the year-plus effort was worth it, or was it, in your view, a waste of money? Do you want to know more about the 2020 elections, or is it time to turn the page? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Kathleen Dolan is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. Kathy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Big picture, what, if anything, do you see coming out of this year-plus probe?
Well, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this year-plus probe is keeping in the news the idea, without any evidence at all, that there might have been something wrong with the 2020 election here in Wisconsin or even nationally. We have had no evidence ever anywhere in the United States that there was anything compromised about the 2020 election, but we have spent 2 years talking about that. And as we know, when people hear things, they don't always hear all the details. And so there is reason for concern that people, some people in the United States and in Wisconsin, come away with a sense that our elections are not free and fair, which we know they are. But too long a focus on the issue could lead some people to believe that there are problems when they shouldn't.
I want to go back to the beginning here with a listen to Assembly Speaker Voss announcing the Gableman investigation. This is at the Republican State Convention last year in the summer.
We are going to make a major announcement right now. Many of you know that the legislature has hired retired investigators who are beginning the process of looking into the shenanigans that happened during the course of the past year. Okay? Correct. But what if I told you that we were going to hire somebody who was a former district attorney, former circuit court judge who has actually seen what's happened, former member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who is going to be the election coordinator with those three officers who are going to do it? What if I told you his name is Mike Gableman?
Now, just last week, Voss described Gableman as an embarrassment to Wisconsin. Can you talk about the politics of that, an announcement at the Republican State Convention of this appointment?
So, you know, let me just say before I answer, in playing that clip, gave more airtime to the concerns that I just raised. And one of the real dilemmas about these issues is the more time we spend talking about them, in some ways, the less able we are to refute them and to bring forward the truth. But the bookends of this probe, Speaker Voss announcing it at the Republican State Convention last year, it was very clear at the time, and we all know that in the intervening years since, that he did that at the behest of former President Trump. It was done for political reasons. It was done after Speaker Voss resisted doing exactly what he did for some period of time. And then when you fast forward to the end of the process, we know that the reason he did away with the investigation was political as well, because Gableman had turned on him in supporting Speaker Voss's primary challenger. Former President Trump had continued to be very critical and had also supported Adam Steen. And so Speaker Voss was retaliating from a political perspective. It is unlikely that Speaker Voss would say to us that he was committed to the investigation of the election because he dismissed it with a wave of a hand. So it was born in politics and it died in politics, and that is not to the betterment of the people of Wisconsin.
Talking to Kathleen Dolan from UW-Milwaukee, looking at the end of the Republican-appointed Gabelman probe of Wisconsin's 2020 elections. You could join in with your reactions, your thoughts on this whole process at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Nate is with us in Madison. Nate, hi.
Thank you. I couldn't agree with the speaker more. This is a pure political fiasco, and the sad thing is this is direct taxpayer money being paid for a political adventure. Like the speaker said, it was initiated because of pressure from the former president, who now is in a ton of legal trouble, which says something about who he was. And it's continuing with a political closure because now it's become unpalatable to Speaker Voss, who is the one who initiated it. So the answer, folks, is throw these bums out. These Republicans who spend our money for political purposes, there you go.
Nate, thanks for the call. Kathy, Nate sees a waste of money as well as time here. Are there, do you think, consequences for people who have raised these questions about the 2020 elections, who've put this kind of money into it in Wisconsin or elsewhere?
Well, you know, unfortunately, as Nate suggests, you know, there are sort of broader problems here. You know, we could ask Speaker Voss if he has complete confidence in the primary election in which he just stood. He won that election, and so, of course, he's comfortable with the results. A significant problem here is people questioning elections when and only when they don't like the results. So as we watch around the country, we have seen sort of a mixed bag of results. We have seen election deniers win in some places. We have seen some election deniers lose. From the Republican Party's perspective, it may be unfortunate that more of them have won than not. But we are going through elections currently, and what we should be concerned about is how people approach the 2022 elections this fall.
Now, there have been kind of two different threads of criticism. As you mentioned, claims of voter fraud, it just wasn't there. I think many, many findings have found no fraud or very limited single-digit numbers. There's been some criticism about some decisions that were kind of ambiguous in law, like drop boxes, for example. State law didn't specifically ban them, didn't specifically outlaw them. The state Supreme Court has weighed in now and said, yeah, no more ballot boxes. Do you think it is worth revisiting some of those procedure things that sometimes in state law is left with a little gray area?
So, you know, here's a place where my good friend federalism comes in, right? Federalism is the relationship between the national and the state governments in the United States. And federalism is a principle that allows states an enormous amount of control over many things, in this example, elections. The federal government sets a few standards for how states have to behave around elections and then leaves most of those things to states to decide, and much to localities. So drop boxes became a huge deal here in Wisconsin because some people believed that in the context of a global pandemic, it didn't make sense to give people a safer way to vote. But the issue is drop boxes have been used here in Wisconsin for times before the pandemic. They're used around the country routinely, and they are largely successful. So one of the problems we have is, as you say, state law does not prohibit, but does not also explicitly empower the use of drop boxes. And so those judgments were left to election officials. State law would help elections officials if it was clear on matters. But what we as a people need to be able to feel confident about is that the decisions that are made about how elections should be carried out are done without political consideration, because a particular party holds the legislature now, and they could write election laws that benefit them. But then at some point down the road, things can change. And so I think the voters and the people of the state need to feel confident that the laws are being made in the best interest of the people, not one of the political parties.
We're talking to Kathleen Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. Kathy's joining us to talk about the end of the Republican-led investigation into Wisconsin's 2020 presidential elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on that investigation? Are you glad it's over? Were there things you were still hoping to hear about? Do you feel confident in general that our elections are pretty well run in Wisconsin? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Kathleen Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee, looking at the end of the Wisconsin Republican-led investigation into the 2020 presidential election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for taking the time out of the show with the show to talk about this subject. I just wanted to, echo the sentiments that the guest in the previous caller that I already shared. From the beginning, I think this whole investigation has been pretty much the definition of a farce. I mean, it was started based on no real substantial evidence of any kind, and was continued, in much the same way. And much like the previous caller said, it would be comical if it weren't such a waste of Wisconsin taxpayer money. So that's all. Thank you.
Michael, thanks for that call. Kathy, given this kind of sustained messaging about, claims of fraud in the election, do you see ways for to remind people how elections work to counter claim those claims?
Well, that is an important point because most people really don't have any idea how elections work. And generally, usually they don't really need to understand. Elections here in Wisconsin are, quite well administered and usually go very, very smoothly. So basic things. So during the 2020 election, one of the things that was frustrating to me, and I tend to know more about these things because of what I do for a living, but here in Wisconsin, our law states that absentee ballots cannot be counted before Election Day. Again, that's one of those things that's done differently in other states. And so if you think about the concerns that the former president raised about the returns in Wisconsin, because it took a long time for Milwaukee to count all of its votes and they tend to come in later. Clerks around the state had asked the legislature to change the law to allow them to start processing absentee ballots ahead of Election Day. If the legislature had given the clerks that go ahead, we wouldn't have had the concerns, and I'm making bunny ears when I say concerns, that people raised about the returns in Milwaukee particularly. The legislature simply refused to do that. So there are ways in which the people of the state don't know how and when and under what circumstances things are being processed. And perhaps if we were more transparent and let people know that here are the rules, here are how clerks work, here are the ways in which things are reported, it might help individuals understand that there isn't a problem and that there is, good evidence of that. But again, we can look to other states to how they administer their elections. And there's very, 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 very little election fraud anywhere in the United States. And there are places that do things very differently than Wisconsin does with much success. And so we could even look to other states for successful ways of administering things.
Thanks for the call. Richard joins us now in Cambridge. Richard, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, what she said is absolutely right. The one thing the legislature could have fixed, they didn't. On the general topic of our election safe, I'm 71 years old, a lifelong resident of Wisconsin, and we've never had any problems with our elections ever. Everything that they brought up was just to make problems, raise doubts, based on no proof. The reason I called was this question. Can't we taxpayers get our money back from this bogus investigation? And who would do that? Does it need to be a citizen who takes this to court? Or is this something Josh Call could do? And that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Richard, thanks for the call. I know there are some questions at this point over how some of the lawsuits will be paid for related to open records, but I'm guessing, Kathy, there's probably not a mechanism to claw back the money spent for the most part.
You know, that is well beyond my area of expertise, and I wouldn't want to put out anything about that. I do know that people would like to see the money reimbursed, but I just don't know if a mechanism exists or if Speaker Voss has the power to encumber that money as he chooses.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Kathleen Dolan from UW-Milwaukee, political scientist there, looking at the end of the Gableman probe into Wisconsin's elections. What came out of that, what didn't come out of it, how it fits into wider efforts to call it a question, elections in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Kathy, I know a concern about this story here in Wisconsin and in so many other countries is, as our caller just said, you know, this is being an effort to create doubt about our elections, to allow election results to be overturned at some later stage, like was an attempt to happen on January 6th, trying to send things back to state legislatures. Do you worry that this is basically setting up a pretext for overturning an election at some stage in the game?
Yes, I think those concerns are valid. I think that what happened after the 2020 election, culminating in January 6th and since January 6th, is part of a concerted playbook about laying a base for even as early as 2024. As I said a minute ago, that there are some Republicans around the country who are being elected as election deniers. And in four states, we have very rabid election deniers who have won Republican primaries to serve as Secretary of State. In most states, Secretaries of State are the people who administer elections. And so if this atmosphere over the last couple of years helps to put in place people who want to deny the way elections are run, then that puts power into the hands of the wrong people in 2024. We have heard people here in Wisconsin, we hear the Republican candidate for governor say, well, you know, I'm not sure what happened. We'll have to take a look. I don't feel comfortable in 2024 with knowing that there are people in power who might want to do things against the rules. So, yes, I do believe that we are headed for a bigger problem in 2024.
It's kind of a whack-a-mole game in a lot of ways with all the different theories, claims of fraud out there. We've had a couple of callers reference the Dinesh D'Souza film, 2000 Mules, claiming to have evidence about ballot box fraud. We saw former Attorney General Bill Barr debunk that in the January 6th hearings. What do you think about this, just the variety of theories out there and how hard it is to catch up with all of them?
Well, that is unfortunately a larger problem of the human psyche, right? I mean, we know at its most basic that it's a lot easier for people to keep the information they hear first than it is for them to hear the refutation. And so as former President Trump played, you know, very well over his time, you say words and people hear those words and believe them. People are much less likely to take evidence against their own beliefs, right? People's beliefs support what they believe to be true, and they take information that supports those beliefs, and they tend to reject information that would stand in opposition to those beliefs. So convincing people who hold election-denying theories that they are wrong is extraordinarily difficult. And as you say, it is particularly difficult because there are so many things that people have decided went wrong, and there are so many threads and strands. And that's part of my pessimism about 2024, because it is literally impossible to get people to change their worldviews when they're so dug in on those conspiracy theories.
Are there institutional changes you see that we need to help make sure that we don't have an effort to overturn an election result actually succeed?
Well, the bill that's working its way through Congress right now to change some of the unclear pieces of the Electoral Count Act. You know, you say you use the example of the Wisconsin law having a lack of clarity here around ballot boxes. You know, part of the challenge in 2020 was that the system, the Electoral Count Act, and the system of counting Electoral College votes was not as crystal clear and did not limit problems in a way that it could have. And so if the Senate is able to strengthen that law and to make the procedures clearer, that could go a good way to helping to protect the system in 2024.
In just our last minute, Kathy, what are you watching for next on these election-related integrity issues?
I'm interested in continuing to look. So after 2020, one of the things that happened is that many states changed their laws to tighten up the opportunities for people to vote. In 17 states that the Republicans hold the legislature, they constricted the right to vote by making it more difficult for people to do so. And they did it based on these supposed arguments about election fraud. I'm, you know, watching in 2022 how some of those new laws will affect the opportunities for people to vote, you know, whether it's decreasing the number of polling places in certain areas or making laws about times. You know, we saw Georgia pass a law that makes it illegal to give water to somebody waiting in line at a polling place. So there's been a real micromanagement in many states in the last 2 years to really tighten up laws. And if there is no evidence, these laws are being tightened for the wrong reasons, most of which are political. So I'm interested in seeing how these new laws take effect and play out in the 2022 midterms.
Kathy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
That was Kathy Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. She joined us to talk about Michael Gabelman's investigation into election fraud, which has come to an end now after Robin Voss fired him last Friday.